Let me just establish this right from the get-go. Adam Carter dead to me. I don't know. He's got Ebola. He's got some sort of fungus building in his body. I'm glad he works. Get out of this building until we figure out what sort of fungus is in his body.
You are standing in the very spot
same
that Carter was on. Yes.
Same spot. I mean, Jordana was over here in like a sealed area. Josephson was over there planning his next trip. And I've got to sit here where the guy who is clinging for his life.
The stank and the filth and it's.
First of all.
You're doing the Lord's work.
His illness is a you problem. Okay. But now he's bringing it upon me and my illness. Mm-hmm. My throat hurts already. Just started. I'm not suing him because I know what he makes. I know what Jen makes. So litigation started against the lobster.
So you're going to be a warrior. You're going to tough it out for the sake of their financial freedom.
Until I get sick and then I'm going to run him over in a car.
Makes sense.
Repeatedly. And I'm not gonna hide who I am.
You'd be justified.
Absolutely. All right, let's bring in our guy. It's back to back. It's a double shot of Lou Ragusa. If you thought yesterday's story was bizarre, we've got another one for you. This is the Feeding Our Future case, which we all know about. And we all know about the initial verdicts, some not guilty, two not guilty, and then the others a combination of guilty and not guilty. But then, oh, by the way, we had a juror who was bribed. Just your normal thing, Lou Ragusa from Care 11 is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Just a normal thing when all of a sudden one of the jurors is offered $120,000 for the right decision. And so Andy Luger, obviously, the U.S. attorney for the state, has been all over this case. He has a press conference, and as you know well, Andy Luger can give a great press conference. What stood out the most to you? Because we had talked in background a couple times. You knew this was coming. I think you might have thought the press conference might be coming even sooner. But what stood out most? Susie gave some of the details before, but what just grabbed you the most about this elaborate plan to find the youngest juror, surveil her, and try to buy her off?
Well, Chad, thanks for having me on, first of all. It's hard for me to pick just one thing, but I think the headline here is how sophisticated it was, including, allegedly, one of the defendants who the jury fully acquitted in that trial. So to be clear, this was not a case of somebody on their own telling their wife, hey, that bag of money in the basement, go bring it to this juror. It was allegedly thought out, planned out, including flying a woman in from Seattle to deliver money between three of the people who were on trial in that major Feeding Our Future case and two separate people who weren't involved until now. And just the level of play into the fact that the defendants are immigrants. There was included in that presentation by U.S. Attorney Luger a document that they found on the phone of or the computer of one of the defendants, a document that seemed to be intended to give the juror to instruct her on how to convince the other jurors to plead not guilty. And that includes because they're immigrants, because the government is racist, because, you know, everything is against them. And so it played into all these things that I think played into how the fraud happened in the first place, the Feeding Our Future fraud, that people were afraid to ask questions because of racism allegations being made.
It's a very fair point, because we witness this all the time when race is an enormous impediment for those individuals who are profiled, missed opportunities. But then there are times when some people are timid and afraid. They're afraid of some backlash of racism coming at them. And you can't. Now, if it's shrill, if it's over the top, if it's exaggerated, I get it. Because legitimate racism, as we and everybody listening knows, happens every day. That doesn't mean if you're in law enforcement, if you're in oversight, that you have to be afraid to pursue something because the individual isn't a white person.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing that U.S. Attorney Lugar made clear, is that his office is not affected by that. And, you know, back to, you know, we had a couple background conversations. I was aware that as soon as this happened, the FBI had basically all resources into solving this. And even though it's been a couple weeks, that's fast investigation when it comes to something this complicated involving the feds.
So part of this too, Lou, the hubris of all of this, Lou, of the individuals who were taking COVID money meant for children to eat and feeling that they could divert it for pretty enormous sums of money. They could get away with it. And now some of the same individuals, Lou, feel like, you know what I'll do? We'll reach out to one of the jurors and we'll influence her with money, with a guide, with playing on your person of color. Arrogance, hubris throughout, feeling like they're so savvy they can outsmart so many people when they weren't.
The context of the case is that it was a $250 million pandemic fraud overall. This specific group of seven who was put on trial first allegedly accounted for more than $40 million of that. Okay.
Yep.
And to think that the jury was so meticulous that they actually fully cleared two of those seven, probably thinking that there just wasn't enough evidence beyond reasonable doubt to group them in with them. But one of those two, allegedly, was plotting a bribe.
Yeah.
Because even if he was found not guilty by the jury, the feds believe he at least had a guilty conscience and wanted to make sure that he would be acquitted.
We cannot let that part slip by. That one of the individuals who is now facing the charges was found not guilty. Makes me wonder about that not guilty decision, Lou.
And that's one thing, if you could hear me asking questions at all during the press conference, that I wanted to make clear. Do they think any other jurors were reached?
Yeah.
Do they think that the verdict reflected anything to do with the bribe? And
at the
very end, Lugar said that he does not think that any sort of bribe played into the jury's verdict. And they don't have any information now, but they continue to investigate whether any other jurors were contacted. So that's part of the ongoing investigation. One other scene that I kind of want to set for you.
Yeah, for sure.
So the Monday after this happened, this happened on a Sunday, the next day, the lead prosecutor, who's Joe Thompson, who's the tall guy on the video who stands behind Lugar there, you don't get to see him because there's no cameras in the courts, but an outstanding attorney to watch in the courtroom. So that next day, he announced in the courtroom the bribe, and he asked Judge Nancy Brazel to seize the cell phones of the defendants. And immediately he called out loud that some of the defendants were messing with their phones, like possibly deleting things. He said, can we freeze the scene? Can we order the scene to be frozen to stop them from messing with their phones before they hand them over to the law enforcement in the courtroom? And the judge did order that. However, now we've learned that Abdiaziz Farah, who he was convicted in the trial, and he was called the ringleader of this group, Lugar says that he factory reset his phone in those seconds before the marshals were able to take the phones away.
Can they get that information back, or is it just gone permanently?
If they are, I honestly, I don't know. So the information from his phone is not included in the information that we have so far, right? So that tells you that maybe they haven't been able to yet, if they will be at all ever. I think a factory reset of the phone is pretty permanent.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the FBI is able to.
That's it. You know, for me and you, no chance. I just don't know the capabilities of the FBI in this particular area. Lou Regrus is with us again. He's so good. And he's talking about the Andy Lugar, U.S. Attorney Lugar, on what he announced and following up the bribe towards a juror and the five individuals who have been charged today. Okay, you mentioned the judge. Now, we can all be perfect in hindsight. We don't make a mistake. But you cover a lot of cases. You talk to a lot of lawyers. Does anybody believe the judge during the case could have or should have done more to prevent something like this from taking place?
I don't think so. I think Judge Nancy Azzel is outstanding. I think that the prosecution, Lugar indicated that in the future they will ask anonymous juries, and that's something that they can ask for, but they don't. Imagine needing to be sequestered for 6 weeks for a trial.
Right.
You know, people with a family, with a job and everything. It's almost impossible for most people. And then beyond that, you know, the whole aspect of the anonymous stuff just creates even more challenges. And in America, you know, you're supposed to be able to get a fair trial with a jury of your peers. And, you know, there's a certain bar that things have to reach for it to happen. You know, if they could do it all over again, I think obviously the federal government would ask for an anonymous jury, but I guess they just didn't see this coming.
Well, it can make it even more difficult to get jurors to say yes, right? They can give you legitimate reasons why they can't do this. They can be erroneous about it. So it is tough. I want to circle back to what you said in your question because it's very valid. Now, wait a second. You know, are you certain that this is the only juror they reached out to? I would think, knowing the skill set of Andy Lugar, and you know it better than I, and I know it from talking to a lot of smart attorneys and observing him for a long time, there is a lot of respect for Andy Lugar. That if he had any hesitation, Lou, any hesitation that another juror was involved, I don't think today's press conference happens yet. Don't you think they would have waited?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that's kind of the thing. They want people to have confidence in the verdict. And I think that if the verdict was compromised, I think that they would say that if they believed it.
What's next in this case?
I agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah.
So this afternoon in court, three of the defendants will make their first appearance. Now, the woman who accused of actually delivering the money, she's in Seattle. She is supposed to self-surrender this week and then be brought here to face her charges. The three defendants who are appearing in court today are brothers, Abdiaziz Farah, Saeed Farah, Abdul Karim Farah, who Abdul Karim was not involved in the Feeding Our Future case until now. So they'll make their court appearance, and then the case will proceed. There are other Feeding Our Future trials on the horizon, but the next one that was supposed to start later this summer or fall, I can't remember exactly which month, the government has already asked for it to be pushed back, partly because of the amount of publicity that the whole bribe thing has gotten.
Yeah.
And if jurors are coming in knowing that in the last case they tried to bribe jurors, well, we can't have that.
Last thing, we had a conversation yesterday, and you've been all over the Marissa Simonetti matter. You were breaking new information on this almost hour by hour, starting Monday. Anything new this morning on Simonetti? And she's candidate for Hennepin County Board. She was staying at a place, and what, she didn't own the place, and then she's renting it. Wasn't allowed to rent it, and. Squatter versus tarantulas. I mean, it's crazy. You got to listen to our conversation with Lou yesterday to get it all, but is there anything different today?
Yeah, so right after we talked, shortly after we talked, the actual owner of the house called me. So he was a longtime Edina resident living in that house, raised his family there, put his kids to school in Edina. When he moved out, he didn't sell the house. He decided to rent it, like many people do.
Sure.
He rented it to Marissa Simonetti, and he told me that she signed a standard lease, which includes all the normal stuff, like no subleasing. So he said in her lease, she was forbidden from subleasing it. And he had no idea that she disobeyed that and went on Airbnb and rented out the basement. He had no idea there was a second woman living in the home until Thursday night, the night before this all went down.
Of course.
And so he said that the woman was not a squatter, as Marissa Simonetti frames it, but she was a victim of Simonetti's lies. So his head is kind of spinning. He's not a landlord the way that you might think of a landlord. He's a a guy who owned his house for a long time and now is renting it out.
Anybody who's paying attention to this case, Lou, their head is spinning at this point, trying to figure it out. Thank you,
you know,
sir.
One more thing before we go, Dad.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Simonetti then sent out an email to her supporters and potential donors, calling herself the tarantula tosser, including her mugshot at the top of the email, which she's very proud of, and kind of giving her version of the side of the story and asking for donations.
It's so good. All right. I assume something else will happen, and I'll reach out to you again in the next couple of days. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
It's a triple shot, Tubbsy, of Care 11, right? I mean, my guy John Remish, the greatest GM that Care 11's ever had. Remish, I need a check. We got Lou. Then we have a regular Rena appearance coming up. Then we got Shaver. Randy Shaver, days away. My father would call him a quitter. Days away from retiring after 40 brilliant years of Care 11. He's in studio in the 1 o'clock hour. I don't know. I mean, do we need one more Care 11 person? We'll wait and see what's going to take place. I ask this question. Am I in the right to run Adam Carter over with my car at any point for him coming down here? For him coming down here with some unidentifiable illness? I heard him. Don't know what it is. Don't know what it could be. Then there were like texts about it could be this and that. Hey, my phone. You know what I should do as a professional talk show host? Probably should turn the volume down.
When my phone goes off and I'm with Lake, I completely get the, he guilts me into turning my phone
off. Well, I mean, I should have. So he's right on that one. But yeah, he's down here. He's got a Comrex. He's got a 14,000 foot mansion. Am I in the right to run over Adam Carter for potentially putting myself in harm and others? I believe the correct answer is yes. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226. Text away, or if you want to comment on this Feeding Our Future story, you can do it. Back in moments. All right, we're going to go quick here. What is our music theme today, Chris Tubbs?
It is saying goodbye. Since Randy Shaver, this is he's called it quits. So we've got a goodbye theme today.
Exactly. All right. I'm in Adam's corner. Text. My text back to him. You're next. Send me your license plate. Yeah, I mean, if you're with Adam, I think you're always potential. You and I are in a position where I can run you over. Also, Adam has always been a fun guy. Well, not anymore. Mm-mm-mm. It's over. The friendship, the love has ended. There's a lot of people going after culture, okay? And I'm not defending a single soul involved in this story who's been found guilty. Not one. This is gross. Taking up to, as Lou reminded us, $250 million dedicated to children and saying, I'm going to live a great life. My family's going to give a great life. Now, for those individuals found not guilty, that's a different look. Although, if you're found not guilty and you also have been accused of being the one of the leaders involved in this case in trying to buy off the juror, if you're innocent, Chris Tubbs, you're not trying to buy off a juror. I know I'm not an attorney, but I can figure that one out. So, but I got to be honest, there's a lot of texts here that are either borderline racist or they just are, Chris. Because, well, Somali in this... Do we have individuals in this state who are Somalian and involved in crimes and arrogance? Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have levels of crimes and gangs and do not acknowledge what is going on in these cases is tippy-toeing around, and I'm not going to do it. However, there is an inordinate amount of generalizing here on these texts and just saying, well, they're immigrants, so, or they're Somalians, so they think they can do this. What other individuals of a certain face, of faith, or from country or nationality, are you going to say that about? Because the overwhelming number of Somalians are not doing this. These individuals, despicable, terrible, fullest extent of the law, arrogance, hubris, taking food out of kids' mouths. But there's a lot of broad-based generalizing here. Again, I'm not defending these individuals, and I'm not denying that we see stories involving Somalians and violence and Somalians and gangs, but if you're telling me that you're then broad-brushing the high, high percentage of other Somalian individuals here who are legal, upstanding citizens, and they should then take the blame because of others, that's repugnant. So go at these individuals, but to lump in everybody else, that's racism, baby. It's nothing different. Rena, next on CCM. Rena here, like all of our guests, John Schuster, Coldwell Banker Hotline. Lovely day. Okay, on a lovely afternoon like this, when you're free, outside of going to kids' movies by yourself, outside of injuring yourself, what is an ideal Rena Sargentopoulos afternoon? Give it to me with the family, friends, and on your own. Like, are you the type of person who enjoys doing certain activities by yourself? Or do you want to be with others?
I don't like to do anything, ever. You know that. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I want to be by myself. Why do you even ask that question? You already know the answer.
For that answer, because I just wanted to hear that answer again, because it just makes me laugh every time. Oh, my God. That is so good. That is so good.
I'm stuck indoors wearing a sweatshirt because it's winter coat season at work. It's so cold.
Oh, yeah. I know that because I used to go there a decent amount. You know, your guy Shaver's coming in studio here. 1 o'clock.
Ooh.
Yeah, on the Swan Song. I hear you really have wanted him to go for a long time. Is that true?
Yeah, I've been trying to get this guy out the door. I mean, I constantly remind him how old he is. I'm like, you could be doing other things. You have grandchildren now, like tickety-talk-talk.
I hear you move stuff around on his desk, trying to give him pause and this feeling of, I better get out of here.
I do steal forks from him occasionally.
Forks? Like does Randy have like a desk with like 75 forks in there?
He did. And like someone asked for a fork the other day. I was like, you know who has them? Randy. But that bugger cleaned his desk out months ago. There was nothing left in there.
Oh, sounds like you're saying he's coasting here.
Oh, my gosh. Senioritis. This guy's been gone for weeks now. I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So is this the type of air conditioner where you get to control it? Is it one of those glass enclosed one where you can't get anywhere near it?
I have no idea where it even is, I'll be honest with you. I do know that they had something break in one of the studios, and it was at like 57 degrees for like a whole week. I had to do interviews in there.
What was the temperature really? How cold was it?
I think it was in the 50s.
Oh my God.
I'm not kidding. It was, you could hang meat in there. And that's where we do our Zoom interviews. I would put on a coat, and then right before the Zoom interview would start, I'd throw it off on the floor. They finally fixed it. And they always claim it's because of the equipment. The equipment's hot. We have to keep things cool for the equipment.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't buy that.
I don't either.
No, that just cannot be true. Okay, so I saw something the other day, and I want text on this also. 651-461-9226. Something that you brought into your life that you tried for the first time, or you went to a place, or you incorporated this into your life, and once you did, you thought, what took me so long? What took me so long? Some might say, let's say, social media. Maybe you love the TikTok. I love TikTok. Are you? We've talked about this before. You're on the TikTok.
You do not.
I love TikTok. I think it's
for what?
It's hilarious. It's funny. It's great. Okay. I don't go there for any news at all. Zero. Zilch. I have my ways to find news. I go to, you know, conspiracy minded
sites. Care 11.
Yeah.
Care 11.
I go to care11.com every day. I'm not kidding. I go to all the local outlets every day to check. So there's plenty of social media. I think some might say therapy, right? You finally discovered therapy, or maybe you started to travel more. I can think of a point in my life when I wallowed about circumstances in my life and it cost me big, and I'm never doing that again. I'm never, because I there was a lot of crap going on in my life, and I felt sorry for myself, and I didn't separate it when I had many other aspects of my life that were wonderful. And so when tough stuff happens, I'm not saying I'm not saddened by it or affected by it, but I'm not going to let it permeate the rest of my life, including some amazing things that at the time were literally right in front of me. You know, so can you think of something? Maybe it's just you've decided to not talk to people. Okay, I've just decided I'm not going to include anybody else in my life, and I'm better. And you know, for some
people, that's not new. Yeah. That's not new.
All right, can you think of something? And Texters, I want you to tell me this too. 651-461-9226. What is something that you now include in your life? It makes your life better, and you can't believe you waited as long as you did to include it. Let's do this. Let's pause. You think about it, and I want more text on this because I think this could be good. We'd hear from some people on this one. 651-461-9226. It's been noted we're a couple vignettes into the 100 greatest moments in CCO's history. Not one from the show so far. Not one. Serena, it's possible with about 7 minutes to go, you could say something, you could do something, and it would be added to the list of the 100 greatest moments in the 100-year history of WCC Radio.
I think we all know that's not going to happen.
I mean, we can't eliminate it yet. We just cannot. Okay. I'm going to give you some of the texture. So, again, the premise is something you added to your life, a change you made in your life, no matter your age. And once you did it, your thought was, why didn't I do this a long time before? All right, let's get some text. Marijuana. Okay. I have no problem with that one. Now, for me, marijuana started a long, long, long time ago. Here's what I would say. I would say there are things that if in this area where it's a drink or it's a smoke and you're not trying to get altered, or maybe you are, consider the circumstances because we've all been there. There's no reason to not try something and find out if you might like it. And marijuana is about to be everywhere. What's your sense on the marijuana side? If someone hasn't tried it and they're at least 30 years old or older, do you think many folks are going to try pot in that group? They're at least 30, haven't tried it. Now it's legal. Because I don't. I think the percentage is going to be small. In fact,
yes,
very small.
I agree.
Okay. Like Harrigan. Harrigan has never smoked a cigarette, never smoked, and he's not changing. So, more text. Joined my wife a few years ago by purchasing a bike and eating the trails with her. That's a great idea, right? Your partner and also exercising. Patting myself on the back. I put it off way too long, and I'm awesome. That's right. I would say something I can't live without and waited a long time to have in my life is my wife. And if my wife hears this on air, I'm going to score many points. Yeah, so I don't know if that's legit or if that was just
altruistic.
Yeah. Let's see. Listen to Jason Russia. I put it off way too long, and he's awesome. Yeah, Jason's excellent. Mindful meditation, Chad. You got to try it, but don't bail on it after a week. Okay, I've talked about that before, where I have tried to meditate a number of times because I have people close to me, formerly close to me, who did that, and they believe in it so much, and I struggle with it. How about you in meditation?
I not a chance. I run at a 15 at all times.
Yep.
I tried yoga, and that is not for me because I'm like, when does this end? It's an hour long of stretching, and now I still have to go out and do a workout. Like, I being peaceful is just not part of my life plan, apparently.
No, it's not. Now, you do realize you can just do yoga, and it doesn't have to be the mindfulness, but it's good for your body.
Meh. Too slow. Takes too long.
Yeah. Well, so what do you want, like a 2-minute stretch?
Yeah, 2 minutes and then let's get going. Yeah. Let's get this thing over with.
That's really a good approach. Okay, now I gave you time to think about this.
Yes.
What is something that when you added it to your life, you thought, why didn't I do this a long time ago?
I can think of a lot of things. I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but I was born like 100 years old. And I'm a slow adopter to anything. Like
Not shocked.
That's not going to work.
Yeah.
But just even silly things. Like I waited till I was in my 40s before I ever colored my hair.
Why? Were you afraid something was going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know why. I was just like, I'm holding off. I don't know why. Therapy was something that I didn't try until I was very much an adult. Actually limiting social media is something I wish I would have done much sooner. You know, I convinced myself that I had to do it for my job and it's just not good for anybody involved. And so sometimes I feel uninformed too, because I'm like, someone will say something about something going on and I'm like, don't know. Haven't heard about it.
I'm aware of that. I am not fully after having the other show. So I think social media is there's so many aspects of it, right? Kids way too soon. And if it does affect you in a negative way, I think people should run away from it. I really do. If you're someone who it doesn't bring you down, but you find ways to be informed and it makes you laugh, then I think it can be a great asset to your life. But everybody's different, right? Everybody just doesn't fit into one category.
Right.
Getting solar panels, someone says. I'm 73. Never smoked, not much of a drinker. Darn right I would try it. Yeah, I mean.
There you go.
Yeah. If you just want to try it for your own enjoyment, or if it can help relieve you with pain, let's find ways to avoid pain. That's a hot take. I know no one's ever said that before, and I'm going with that. All right. Well, go keep the fireplace going so it's not 40 degrees in there.
I thought you were going to say put a sock in it.
Yeah. I sound too old if I say that. I'm old enough now. I don't need to sound even older. I will talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Rena. Randy Shaver in studio. Care 11 next on CCO.